This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are we on? We're on. Great. Guys, I'm ticked off. You ticked off? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Are you ticked off?
I'm pretty ticked off.
So, I mean, welcome to Stoppage Time. We're ticked off today.
Where do we want to start?
Where do we want to start? Let's start with something that makes us happy. The support we get from Aaron's. Easy, beautiful, affordable. Top brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances. Your credit isn't the best. That's fine. Shop Aaron's.com or one of 47 Atlanta stores. All right, I'm angry again. The ineptitude of the U.S. men's national team not only was on full parade last night in Toronto, the 2-0 loss to Canada, but the incompetence of their managerial and possibly physio staff now has put Atlanta United in a really bad position going into their first playoff game Saturday against New England Revolution. Now, let me start with this. Atlanta United can still win the MLS Cup without Miles Robinson, okay? I'm not saying that there's no hope for them without him. I'm not saying they're destined to lose on Saturday without him. Not saying that at all. I think, and we're going to get into the plan for Atlanta United going into this match. Not saying that at all. But I am saying it's going to make it a lot more difficult. Mm-hmm. And this was a totally avoidable situation. And if you haven't heard by now, if you didn't hear Darren Eales on with Dukes and Bell yesterday, basically we learned that Miles Robinson was put through a heavy training Friday after he did not play in the U.S. men's national team's 7-0 win over Cuba. It is common for non-playing substitutes to do a warm down after the game. And if you've been to Atlanta United matches, you've seen it. Players will jog and maybe do a few shuttle runs and a few activation things, and that's about it. It sounds like what happened Friday at a very late hour, Darren Eales said 11 p.m., was a lot more intense than that. And Miles Robinson pulled his hamstring in that training, whatever you want to call it, sent back to Atlanta, and now he's week to week, and it looks like he's not going to play on Saturday. He might be out for some time. Totally avoidable situation. Totally avoidable situation. The guy has played 34 league games. He's played the six most minutes of anyone in MLS. He's going to go home on Wednesday. You're probably not going to play him Tuesday in Canada. Why are you making him do that? It's not like you're at Memorial Day weekend and you're about to go overseas for the World Cup and he's going to be with you for 2 months. What is the point of making him do that? And yeah, it is a little unlucky. I mean, something like that could happen in a training anywhere. But Greg Berhalter got Atlanta United's most valuable player injured on his watch, not in a game. Inexcusable. And then on top of it, they had that debacle last night, which we'll get into in a minute. Your thoughts?
I saw it described immediately afterwards as a post-match training session. When I saw that and hamstring injury, alarm bells went off in my head, and I hoped that I was wrong. I hoped that it was something weird, something different, not from a post-match training session, because that's what it was described as by reporters who were there before Darren spoke to Dukes and Bell. That's how it had been described. Then you find out that, okay, now it's week to week. Then it's alarm bells go off again, because my feeling was that if it was minor, if it was nothing, you would say zero until the lineup came out on Saturday, because you want that doubt in New England's mind as to what you're going to do. Now, you have that because you still don't know what you're going to do. New England's going to be trying to juggle between, do they play three in the back? Do they play four in the back? Who's the personnel? What does that do to the midfield? It creates a lot of confusion for New England. You look for a silver lining, that's the one you can find here. But the fact that it's a post-match training session, it's a hamstring, it's described as week to week, And Darren described it as what he did, how it's more than just a cool down. It's not just a jog afterwards. Because game started at 7 o'clock. You had a very light warm-up if you're Miles Robinson before the game, because you're not starting. I don't know. I didn't go back and watch. I don't know how much he was up warming up during the match. I don't know if he was at all. He didn't play. So if he was, let's assume he went through a normal warm-up, not as a player who's going to come in, but a player who is prepared just in case you have to come in. It's a fairly normal warm-up. A cool-down afterwards, pretty common. Not crazy to do. You've warmed up. You don't play. You cool down afterwards. You get ready to go back to the hotel. You get ready to travel, and then you go play your next game. Why, if it's 11 p.m., that's 2 hours after the final whistle. Why? What? For a player that was an emergency injury replacement, who was going to go to the U23s, replaced Walker Zimmerman, didn't play on Friday, which was the more likely of the two matches for Miles to play in, because Canada was a bigger game. He wasn't initially called in. If you're turning to a player that you didn't initially call in to play in Canada, there's even bigger problems than we know about. So you're not going to play him. So you don't play him in the game that he was more likely to play in. You're not going to play him in the next one. Why are you even bothering with his fitness? Why are you even thinking about his fitness? Because he's about to go back to the club who pays the salary. And oh yeah, by the way, the club that has a playoff match coming up in a few days. For a manager who left Michael Bradley and Jozy Altidore at home during the September friendlies, which were friendlies because Toronto had matches, and was obviously thinking about a club situation, why would you willfully forget about the club situation of a player who is trying to break through into your team and has had the best year of his young professional career? Why would you put him at risk? You didn't protect the player that's part of your program. You didn't take care of the people that you called in.
Well, and again, there's no point to putting him through a training on a Friday. He's fine. He's well-conditioned. He's fit.
You're okay? Not going to get any improvement in fitness from that.
No. Now, the thought might be, okay, Saturday is a regen day. We'll do a full training Sunday and then go to Toronto or whatever. They want him to do something. I get that. But it's not a fitness issue. There are other things you can do that are less risky than taking a guy who's been cold for 2 hours. And the 11 p.m. part is a very significant part of
this. Yeah, that's the one that makes no sense
to
me.
What? Where did this even occur? Was it at the stadium?
It was at the stadium.
Okay, well then, I mean, Audi Field, I blame you. Turn the lights out, for crying out loud. Kick them out. I'm joking. To me, this is more egregious on Berhalter than what happened last night.
Yeah.
You know, because look, you got outplayed, outmanaged last night. That happens. Mm-hmm. Canada was up for the game. The U.S. men's national team players did not do much for the shirt last night. There was no fight. There was no pushback. A lot of that's on the players. They need to be held accountable. But those things do happen in games. Mm-hmm. What happened Friday night to Miles Robinson, in my opinion, if they're going to sack Greg Berhalter, that's at the top of the list, mm-hmm. not what happened on Tuesday. You can't have this happen to a player on your watch. You just can't have this happen.
I'll give the same example I did this morning. Trent Alexander-Arnold for Liverpool. Top outside back for Liverpool. Did not play in either match for England during the international break in European Championships qualifiers. If he had injured himself in something after the match in the Czech Republic on Friday, I believe it was, if he had injured himself then, that takes him out of Liverpool's big rivalry match this weekend with Manchester United and out of Champions League next week, what would the response be from Liverpool media? What would the response be from the Premier League? What would the response be from independent media in England? Outrage. Shock. There would be no comparison of an injury to Mark Anthony Kay in a match to what happened with Miles Robinson, because that's not the same thing.
Don't get me started on that.
But that's an important thing here, because if this happened to a Trent Alexander-Arnold, who was in the same situation, didn't play at all for England, if you got him injured and you cost him matches with Liverpool and you made Liverpool have to turn to someone else in big games, not even playoff games, but big games, the reaction would be calling for the manager's head.
Right.
Because you can't have players get injured in these situations. If it's a strenuous training session during a game, all right, you're getting the guys battle-tested, you're preparing for a game. That happens. This is after a game where it's the last time possible you should have a player get injured on your watch.
Yeah. So it's no secret. I'm on the Berhalter out train. Do you agree?
I think so, but the problem is you can't right now because there's nobody to take it. There's nobody to step in because you got two games in November, and you've got to get to the CONCACAF Nations League semifinals. If you don't qualify for that and Canada goes to the Nations League semifinals, that's two more potential games at a high level that you have lost. And you go back and look at how they played last night, that looked like a team who's never been in a big game before.
No, absolutely. My counter to that is if you're going to do it, you got to do it now because there is enough time in this cycle to...
No. Let me make it clear because I think you got to get through November. But that's all I'm saying.
My concern is if you get November, it might buy you more time. I've seen enough. No more chances as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know. I mean, I think if there was somebody obvious that would jump in and take it to get to the CONCACAF Nations League semifinals, because I've done it for the whole time since this tournament started. People who said this wasn't a big deal, go look at last night.
Yeah, no, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal, and it should be a big deal because it's a measuring stick. You have to get to these semifinals, and if you don't, that's another setback for this program. You would turn to right now, if that happens, if they say, all right, we've had enough, we're done, Jason Christ would take over.
Oh, no.
That's who would take over for those games. Not for enough, but not for good. That's the thing. But that's
But this goes back to what I said on SDH today. Even if they were to sack Berhalter, I don't trust them to make the right choice because this is the same outfit that hired Jason Christ, your U23 coach.
It's U23. I'm okay. I'm not as upset about that.
That's the Olympics, though.
But I mean, it's not like Jason Christ is completely incompetent. He has had success.
He has.
He's had more success than Greg Berhalter. Who's got an MLS Cup?
Well, that's true.
I mean, there you go.
You put it that way. Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
That's what's hard about this. So there's
but club and international are two different things. You know that.
True.
And then Bruce Arena even said that.
Yeah,
he 100%. Said, right now the U.S. men's national team is being run like a club team.
That's different issue.
You hired a club manager.
That's the thing. We've got 40-something minutes left. Yeah. We can't talk about everything going on with U.S. soccer because there's too much.
Right.
Because you have to deal with November's games. You have to deal with beating Canada and Orlando.
Which is now a must.
Yeah.
I have to.
Yeah, you have to.
And that second goal they gave up is going to make it even more complicated.
It makes it a little more tricky, but you play Cuba and the Cayman Islands. You beat Canada, you should go through to the semifinals. All right, one step done. You've got big issues because right now there's no guarantee you're qualifying for 2022 because you haven't won a road game that meant anything since September of 2016. You didn't win any last time in the Hex. This was Berhalter's first opportunity. You have, since June, lost to Jamaica in a pre-Gold Cup friendly. You've lost to Venezuela in a pre-Gold Cup friendly.
Got
looked awful in both.
Yeah.
Then you have the Gold Cup. You hit the bare minimum. You got to the final. You barely beat Curaçao, who has come on a lot, but still it's Curaçao. Let's be real. Then you were beat by Mexico in the final. Didn't look up for it. Didn't really have anything to fight them with. You play them in a friendly. Same thing. Progress, whatever, nothing, no progress. Then you go to Canada and you lose for the first time in 34 years. Not you lose to a team like Costa Rica on the road. Mm-hmm. You lose to Canada on the road.
Canada is a lot better now
they
than they were even
better,
4 years ago.
But like now, Canada isn't scared of you.
No.
Honduras isn't scared of you. Panama isn't scared of you. No. Costa Rica never was scared of you. I don't think El Salvador would be scared of you, and right now they're in the number 6 spot to go into the Hex. I don't think anybody is scared of you. They think they can take points from you.
No one is scared to play the U.S. men's national team in their home park.
Nope.
Nor should they be.
I don't think many of them are scared to come here.
The top half of that isn't.
Costa Rica's not.
Not now. Not now. You're right.
Canada won't be.
We will see what happens in
Canada
Orlando.
Won't come in scared.
We'll see. I agree.
They'll come in
point.
Defensive because all they need is a draw, but they won't come in scared because what they'll do, do the exact same thing they just did. They'll play a 4-4-2 that Greg Berhalter never figured out, never made a change to deal with. You try to build up through that, and they'll have Davies and David up top who can kill you on the counter.
Right. One more point I think is important to make before we take your questions. This is not all on Berhalter. Berhalter's in charge of this. Ultimately, it's his responsibility. He needs to go. Players need to be held accountable too.
Mm-hmm.
There are guys out there who are doing nothing for the shirt right now. And what bothered me so much about last night and what bothered me so much about the game at Soldier Field against Mexico, and what really bothered me, in fact, embarrassed me as an American in Cincinnati against Venezuela, no pushback whatsoever. No fight, no pushback. You know, you give up the first goal, you don't look good in the build-up to the first goal, you concede the first goal, and you're going through the motions is what it looks like. Players need to be held accountable, too.
The front four for the U.S. versus Canada's back four. You're talking about, on Canada's side, no player with more than 16 caps. You're talking about a guy who's a converted right back in Richie Larea, who's played there 16 times in his career. You're talking about Kamal Miller and Derek Cornelius, who are in their rookie seasons and have played, I think, 14 and 16 times as a starter in MLS. And you're talking about a 32-year-old center back who is with the number 12 team in Portugal. That's the back line that was going up against Christian Pulisic, mm-hmm. who was sold for a lot of money, and he's at Chelsea. Weston McKennie at Schalke. Jordan Morse, who's won an MLS Cup with the Seattle Sounders. And Josh Sargent at Werder Bremen, who is the next shining light. Mm-hmm. The U.S. front four has to take advantage of that back four. No questions asked. I don't want to hear about, oh, MLS, too many MLS players. They had three MLS players with very little experience, and they shut down your Premier League player, your two Bundesliga players, and Jordan Morris, who had a chance to go to the Bundesliga and stayed in Seattle.
Yeah. You've got the worst U.S. men's national team since the late 90s, which is puzzling to me because MLS is 10,000 times better than it was in 1997.
It's worse than that. You're going back to the limited Bora days of the early 90s where it was sit back and hope. And honestly, 2014 wasn't that different.
Yeah.
And that's the long picture thing that would take a lot longer to get into. This didn't happen overnight. This didn't happen because of Trinidad. This didn't happen because of the Gold Cup semifinal losing to Jamaica at the Georgia Dome. This started before the 14 World Cup.
Yeah.
You went to the 14 World Cup and you gave up almost 100 shots in four games. Not kidding, 94 shots. Right. 39 to Belgium in a knockout game. I mean, this is not new, and it's only gotten worse, and now it feels like it's rotting. That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah. And you're approaching every U.S. men's national team fixture now with just this sense of dread. You don't even want to watch anymore. On that cheerful note, let's take some of your questions. We are going to get into what's going to happen with Atlanta United now without Miles Robinson. And again, that's what sticks in my craw way more than what happened last night. That because you have affected Atlanta United's chances to repeat as MLS Cup champions for something that was totally avoidable. But let's get to some of your questions now, brought to you by Country Financial. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started at TakeSimpleSteps.com. If people are just ranting in the comments, too, that's fine as well.
A couple of men's national team questions, then we'll transition to the Atlanta United questions.
Sure.
But here one from Sean. Are you more upset about the men's national team's loss to Canada or the Miles loss?
Miles. Because
it's all related to me. It's just mismanagement. It's all a joke of a program at this point.
It is, but again, let me go back to what I said a second ago. You can get clipped in a game situation by a motivated opponent at home. You can get outplayed and outmanaged. That does happen. Can't do anything, you can't control what Canada is doing. The Miles thing is 100% self-inflicted. That was a totally avoidable situation.
It's two different things for me. It's not one or the other. They're in like separate universes for me. They both make me very upset.
Let's see. Shiva asks, in your opinion, how can situations like what happened to Miles be avoided in the future? And can a club refuse to send players during the critical time, like before playoffs?
No, not you can't in this situation because they're competitive matches. The player would have to refuse the call up, and the player would be putting their international career at risk. And the player shouldn't have to do that.
Right.
The Miles situation, you've got to treat the players the right way. And you don't put them through that at the end of that day where you sat on the bench, you might have warmed up some. If it's 11 o'clock, then it was 2 hours after you'd warmed up. And it doesn't make any sense.
It's an awful position to put Miles in as well. And this is something that Darren kind of touched on a little bit. Miles is not going to say no if the assistant coach or strength and conditioning guy or whatever says, run some sprints. Miles, 23 years old, he's not going to say no. He's not going to refuse that. Whereas a veteran player might be a little more confident to say, I'm not going to do that. But Miles is not that type of guy.
He wants to impress this coaching staff because he wants to play for the national team. The players know their bodies better, and in these situations, fitness is not the concern of the national team.
No.
It's just like we get into development. Is that a concern of the national team? Honestly, not. The national team, really simple, what the job is, you identify the best players who are playing at their best form right now as you make your call-ups. You call them in, you identify the best way to get the best team on the field. You create a simple tactical plan that you can go through in a couple of training sessions. You go and play. It is that simple. It's a lot of man management. And the Miles issue is a huge one. The Christian Pulisic issue is a huge one. Christian Pulisic has more pressure on him than any American soccer player since Landon Donovan. He's going through a really rough time at Chelsea where he's not getting games. He's getting talked about a lot, and I think it's very unfair the treatment that Pulisic is getting right now because he hasn't played poorly for Chelsea. Why pull him out in that 60th minute in that moment when it's not his fault? You put a finger on him and you said, you're not performing, I'm pulling you, and you could see it in his face. You have to understand the situation. If it is Jordan Morris in that point that you're pulling, Jordan Morris is not dealing with that pressure. You have to take care of Christian Pulisic, just like you have to take care of Miles Robinson, because they're the future of the program. Now you've gotten one guy injured, and you've gotten another guy who looked embarrassed after being substituted last night. That's a problem for a manager.
Well, they were taking care of Pulisic. He had the flu.
Yeah, he had flu-like symptoms.
Then why do they even play him?
Exactly.
Seriously. Like, they can't even get their lies right.
They can't even lie correct.
This is the same
guy who said that DeAndre Yedlin would never play right back for him. He did last night.
Yeah.
This is the same guy who said Tyler Adams was not going to play in the holding midfield, but he said that in the lead up to this. The system is not even the system anymore. It's just a mishmash of stuff, and you're throwing guys into it and asking them to build up through the back against a team that is pressing you and overloading you in the midfield. The simplest of simple things. Halftime, no changes. Halftime response from the players, none. There's no inspiration. There's no anything right now. And you have to look at the man in charge because of the very public things that have happened with Miles Robinson and Christian Pulisic. Yeah.
The best thing, the best solution is for him to just step down. I understand his brother is the guy.
And that would be the best reason why.
Might have to make the call. Don't put it on your brother's plate. Do the honorable thing and step down. Well, get a golden parachute.
But this is even more. This is the thing. Because Jay Berhalter's not the guy yet. He might be the guy.
He might be the shadow guy right now, but he's not the guy.
They can't hire him right now. They can't make him CEO. He might be the best person for it. I don't know. I'm not there. He's been there for a long time. The business side isn't bad. They can't hire him right now. Dan Flynn has resigned. Like, he's gone. He's going to go work for St. Louis. You can't hire Jay Berhalter as the CEO at the moment because of this with Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Greg, if he wants to get out of the way of his brother's career, and obviously it's not working for Greg right now, he should resign. He won't. And now you're going to make it even more complicated.
Yeah.
Credit to Mena for showing that Christian Pulisic substitution.
That's absolutely. Yeah,
it was.
Yeah,
that was
embarrassing. I felt so bad for him because you're right. There's been an unrealistic amount of expectation placed on him. He's having a very unfair shake at Chelsea right now. But this also illustrates a point that you've made before. It doesn't do American players any good to go play for Chelsea if they're not going to play. It doesn't do them any good, you know? But that's not his fault right now.
It's not.
He hasn't done anything to get himself dropped.
He's played well. His contract was purchased by Chelsea. It's a huge deal. It's a huge opportunity after what he did at Borussia Dortmund, which was very good. There's nothing he's done wrong, and you have to know that. That's the problem here is you look at managers who understand what their players are going through. And you have to take care of them because you need Christian Pulisic to want to run through a wall for you in that Canada match,
right,
where you might need a moment of inspiration that Christian Pulisic can provide.
Well, and if Sergio over there in Amsterdam or wherever he's watching last night is seeing that, how do you think he would feel about playing for this guy?
That's the biggest problem. Right. Now, if you're Sergio Dest, you look at it and you had one player get injured in a post-match thing, and you have another who is in tears on the bench because of being embarrassed. It's not a very appealing place to be at the moment.
Yeah.
And Christopher Grossel on Twitter points out, you know, not such a great look for the United States Soccer Federation with not interviewing Tata Martino.
Not interviewing Tata, not interviewing, Jesse Marsh, not interviewing Julian Lopetegui, who asked you, reached out to you and said, hey, I'm interested. Tata made it clear in the media he was interested. He talked to Taylor Twellman multiple times. Twellman brought it up on broadcasts. Tata said he was never contacted. You interviewed two managers, and of the two you interviewed, one had a supporter shield in the bag, one had a U.S. Open Cup in the bag, and one helped build the best academy right now in terms of signing young professional players in the United States and FC Dallas. You hired the other guy.
All right, if money were no object and you had a little bit of a gap in, say, after the November international break, and money is no object, ideally, who would you go after that's out of contract right now?
He's not out of contract, but I'll tell you who I'd go after. Peter Vermes.
The thing about Vermes is, why didn't they hire him when they hired Berhalter? Did they even talk to him?
Vermes said that there had been some conversations. He was not interviewed formally. He did mention there had been talks because U.S. Soccer just did a big project with Kansas City on the training facility. There had been talks, but the thing about it was, at that time, Sporting Kansas City was coming off of a good season.
Right.
Peter Vermes has complete control at Sporting Kansas City. It's got to be a special offer for him to want to leave. Now you're coming into a different situation. Peter Vermes is coming off of a rough year. They've said he'll be back, which he should be. He's had a ton of injuries this year.
Yeah.
But now it's a different potential conversation in my mind.
Would you want someone with, I respect Vermes, but do you worry about international experience and it's basically another club manager? Are you going to be?
There's not anybody. I mean, there's international folks that are out there, yes, that are out of contract, but do they know? Would they be able to deal with the Christian Pulisic situation any better? Would they be able to understand the American player better? I think Peter Vermes would be the manager who, yes, he has a system. It's far more malleable. He would be a manager who gets the most out of the talent that he has. He would be a manager who would not put up for the effort that you saw in this. He would inspire this group. I think if you're looking long-term, that's who I would go after.
Is there any chance, and I only say this because there is recent precedent for bringing back a former national team manager to do it again, is there any chance you pick up the phone and call Bob Bradley?
You should, and he should hang it up because he was horribly treated when he was fired after the Gold Cup
different
in 2011.
Regime,
it is.
Different
it regime. Is, and then that might be why he doesn't hang it up, yeah. But I don't think he would leave LA.
It's not and it's not just because of what he's done with LAFC. It's not just because of what he did with the U.S. men's national team. Also what he did with Egypt. I mean, he has a lot of international experience, and more of it has been good than bad.
The last U.S. national team that inspired you when you watched it was Bob Bradley.
Absolutely. 100%. 100%.
Because I'm not inspired by winning friendlies on the road in Europe in random Tuesdays and when you make six substitutions. And
no.
You're the master of the six substitutions. I'm not inspired by giving up 94 shots in a World Cup. I'm not inspired by losing to Jamaica in a Gold Cup semifinal. I'm not inspired by losing to Jamaica in a pre-Gold Cup match. I'm not inspired by going to Toronto and getting spanked by Canada. I'm inspired by the last Bob Bradley team.
Yeah.
And it's not even that was greatness. That was better, and they fought, and you had the Landon Donovan goal against Algeria. Do you feel like anything like that's happening anytime soon?
Do you feel like you could go and outplay England in a 90-minute World Cup game? Because they did outplay England.
Even 2006, which was a bad World Cup, you took the
champions. You had a draw against Italy.
And you finished with nine players.
Nine players. You were 10-9.
Brian walked off the field with blood streaming down his face.
Yeah. Now, that was Bruce Arena, but still.
And that was a bad team, but it was still inspiring.
And arguably, the best win / performance that the U.S. men's national team has had since the year 2000 My argument was under Bob Bradley's watch when they beat Spain in 2009 in a meaningful manner, the Confederations Cup. And damn near beat Brazil for the whole thing. Blew a 2-0 lead.
That team, you know, and that's the greatest unknown about U.S. soccer. That team, the Confederations Cup team, that team is getting out of the round of 16 in the World Cup in 2010.
Absolutely.
Charlie Davies and the car crash that derailed his career and took him out of action for years derailed that team, and it was a different team, and it was still a good team in 2010. But if you have Altidore and Davies in their prime up top, you're winning the group, you're beating Ghana, and you're going to be a handful for Uruguay in the quarterfinal. And we never got to see that.
No.
So that's the shame, because that Confederations Cup's probably the high water mark. Those two games, Spain and Brazil.
You feel like you're a million miles away from that point right
now. It's not even close.
Yeah, it's a shame. All right, let's transition into talk about this Saturday's match. Keep your questions and comments coming. I know they're great. We're going to get to them a little bit later. Want to remind you again that Stoppage Time is brought to you by Aaron's Easy, Beautiful, Affordable, top brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances. Your credit isn't the best. That's fine. Shop Aaron's.com or one of 47 Atlanta stores. So I think we're all of the agreement, even though the club has not come out and said it, that Miles is not going to play on Saturday. And I base that on the week-to-week diagnosis. I think if it were day-to-day, maybe there'd be a chance. There is always the possibility that there is some gamesmanship in play here. I wouldn't put it past anyone to try that, but I think we're operating under the reasonable assumption that Miles Robinson is not going to play on Saturday. So you and I were texting a little bit last night. How's Atlanta United going to make this work? And that's why we're going to spend some time at the whiteboard here, because there are a couple different options, and quite honestly, a few of them feel pretty good, all things considered. This is a major loss for Atlanta United, but I don't necessarily think it's a death blow to them either.
No, it's not. There's a lot of different options, actually. Let's start with the same shape that they have played in most of the second half of the season. Let's start with three center backs. Bring them in tight. Wing backs. Midfield. And two up top. Let's start with the absolute base, okay? So we'll deal with the front part of it later. Let's talk about the back. In the 3-5-2, Miles has generally been here the most. I don't think we've seen Leandro Gonzalez Pires there at all.
Not in a 3-5-2.
I think we've seen Parkhurst there in a 3-5-2.
Yes.
We have not seen anyone other than Miles or Parkhurst in that role. You have options to replace Miles Robinson if you want to play the same way you did against New England on Decision Day. LGP, Franco Escobar, Julian Gressel, Justin Merrim. All right. You could replace him with Michael Parkhurst. Then I think what happens is it looks a lot like it did in Montreal. Miles was here. You'd have Escobar there instead. Parkhurst would be here. LGP's here. Gressel and Merrim are going to be a little more like this. And it's going to be a little bit more like this. Or you could even, if you do hang back, you could flip it and try to get forward that way with a little bit of a box up top. Okay. It's going to be more defensive if you have Parkhurst in the middle there.
And your six would be Jeff Lorenowitz, right?
I think so, yeah. I think it needs to be. You could maybe try different things. I just trust it a little bit more with Jeff because he's a little more tactically disciplined in the situation.
And just to interject, I think one certainty with Miles Robinson out is this certainly is going to put Jeff Lorenowitz in the starting lineup somewhere. Could be a center back, could be as a defensive midfielder, but it feels very likely now that Jeff Lorenowitz is going to start this game.
It would feel different. I think it's the best way. I mean, with the time you have, you can get creative, and that's where things could get a little different. I think it's the best way to play it. Now, all right, you take Miles out of it. Who do we want to replace him with? We've talked about Parkhurst. I think that would bring everybody back a little more like Montreal. It's a little more defensive. Okay, what other options do you have? Do you want to play Florentin Pogba in the back three? Then who becomes the middle? You don't have anyone who's played it. That middle role's pretty important. It's different. Miles plays it differently than Parkhurst. Miles will take, if the other team plays one up top, he'll take that person, then these guys are pretty free. If they play two up top, which I would expect New England to do, with Bunbury and Beau, you're going to want Mark. So they've got their two up top. You want it like that. They're taken care of. You've got one free, and that would be Parkhurst. That's okay. That's cool with that. I don't like LGP here and Parkhurst marking Bunbury or Beau. I don't like LGP here and Escobar and Pogba as your markers. I'm not a fan of that. What would be interesting, if you make the decision that, all right, I'm really worried because New England has their two up top, but then they also have Carlos Heel coming in this way. They have Brandon Bye pushing this way, making Merrim sit. They've got Christian Pena, who's going to bomb this way, which pushes Gressel back at times. Man, they can go with five, really, from an attacking perspective. You could play Jeff Lorenowitz here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one we haven't seen. But the more I think about it, I can see it.
We've seen Jeff Lorenowitz as a center back in a line of four.
But we've seen him as a center back in a line of three.
Trying to remember.
We have, but he's been here. He's been off to the side.
Right, not as the most central of the three center backs.
Right. I think he could play this because it's not all that different than being here, except you're the last man. You've got to organize. We know Jeff can keep this team organized.
No doubt.
You have a couple different options. I lean, because of experience, to the level of Parkhurst here, Jeff here. You've got two essentially free. Then you're going to want either Nagby or Rometty to stay with Heel when he comes inside. That's the one that can cause you problems. You don't want to get it where Jeff has to mark Heel. Then everybody's 1v1 except for one. You'd like one more here to deal with Carlos Heel. Okay. I think it's better with Parkhurst. Now, let's take New England off the board. Because I think those are the only realistic options if you stay with three in the back. Do you have to stay with three in the back? Nope. You don't. Let's leave the attack out of it for a minute. Four. We haven't seen it in a little while, but you could go with a line of four. Like, if you go with a line of four, we're talking about LGP and Parkhurst. Could be. We haven't seen Escobar in a line of four in the spot. Could be. Probably go against it. I think it's better for Parkhurst there. Now, what does that mean? Well, one, two forwards. Because if I'm Bruce Arena and I see them in a line of four, I'm going to tell Gustavo Beau, you got this guy. I'm going to tell Till Bunbury, you got this guy. Go here, make them go, make them switch, whatever. Make them make tough decisions. You don't have a free man. That's risky. Jeff sits here. Okay, there's a free man, but he's in front. It's a little different. You get two midfielders, and you get Joseph and wingers. Probably going to be a 4-3-3 because we've seen that this season. I would think that if you opt to go this way, LGP, Parkhurst, I would not go LGP, Pogba. I like it better the other way. Right back, Escobar. Makes sense. Left back's where it gets tricky. Justin Merrim's never played left back. He's played left wing back. He hasn't played left back. Do you want Justin Merrim now even more on an island dealing with Brandon Bye bombing forward? It's an outside back going forward, but you do like Escobar dealing with Pena. Okay, that's all right. You are okay with Heel coming inside because you should have cover, whether it's Rometty, Nagby, Hindman, whatever the combination is there. You should have some cover, should be okay. Or it's Barco here, and it's a little bit more like this, where one is going to deal, Jeff will drop in and sit, Barco's here, Gressel's here, Pitti's here, or vice versa, however you want to do it. I think you'd rather have Gressel on the right side, but we've seen it where it's switched at times. Joseph here. This feels a little more risky because you're creating more 1v1s where essentially when Bye goes, it's 4v4, Heel comes in as the wild card. One of two has to deal with him. I don't feel like I'm as covered that way.
Well, and the other question is, who's your left back? We haven't really answered that yet. Do you feel comfortable with Pogba there, keeping in mind that Pogba is probably on a plane right now coming back from Spain?
No.
Do you go with a guy like Mikey Ambrose, who hasn't been in the first team in a while but has played quite a bit with Atlanta United too?
I would go to Mikey Ambrose, but he hasn't played with the first team in a while. He's been playing.
He's been in the first team a couple times. Yep. So I do want to point that out. I think that's
trained.
Important.
Yeah,
he has trained, and he has been in the 18 a few times, but
I would go that way, but again, now that you're talking, all right, you're bringing Parkhurst back here. You're going to be creating 1v1s here a lot because they're going to play two up top. You're going to be bringing in Mikey Ambrose here to deal with their very athletic outside back. So it's not going to be traditional runs coming forward. He's going to be making longer runs. You got to deal with that. You got Escobar over here with Pania. Your Freeman's up here. And then if Parkhurst or LGP gets beat 1v1, you got nobody to clean it up.
Don't you think the priority in a 90-minute knockout game is safety?
And, I think so.
And if safety is the priority, that screams 3-5-2 to me with Parkhurst the most central of the three.
I think then it becomes like this. You sacrifice one up top, you do this. Now, if this is how you play it, because then you put out the rest of New England, you've got two holding midfielders in Caicedo and Zahibo, and you've got two center backs and your left back, because your right back is up here. He wants to get forward. Okay. Now what? You've went to the 3-5-2. You've opted that way. You've got a free man here. If you play it right, and I think you should, you want a free man here too. Although, if he has to pick up this sometimes, that happens. That's fine. That's why I think Rometty or Nagby in a kind of pretty smart role dealing with Carlos Hill is very important here. Now, yeah, it's 3 against 5. Don't love it. You want to get Gressel here sometimes because Pania is not going to come with him. He's not a defender. So then, if you get him dragging back, he's not hurting you here. So you want to get Gressel out sometimes, okay? You want to get Merrim out sometimes. That's going to keep Brandon by honest. That then limits it. If you turn him here, he's not a strong defender. If Merrim can go at him, you like that idea. Now, what do you do here? Last time, it was Heineman, it was Barco, it was Joseph. A lot of talk about Pitty Martinez being benched. I don't think that was the case at all.
I don't think it was a benching. I think it was a selection.
I don't think it was that. I think it was, I need Ezequiel Barco in the postseason, right, and I don't have any more opportunities to play him.
Right.
He needs 60 minutes. He's getting 60 minutes.
Right.
Who's he getting 60 minutes for? Pitty. In that situation, because it's a little bit safer. Well, now this is where you have to balance risk. If you're going to opt for safety here, I like the idea of Barco, Pitty, Joseph tight here. Gressel and Merrim get forward to help when they can. Same with Nagby or Rometty, whoever it is here, and I'd assume it's Nagby. They can get forward when they can. But, yeah, you want to keep the scoreboard on zero with your security blankets, Parkhurst and Larinowitz, right there. And you want your three big-time players to play a big-time match. And if it is Zahibo, Caicedo, whatever they throw here, De La Mea, if they bring Mancian back, if it's Andrew Farrell, whatever it is, I'm going to take my chances with the best goal scorer this league has seen in 3 years, with Ezequiel Barco's coming into his own, and El Pitti. I'm going to take my chances with that.
There's one other aspect, too, but, and it might seem like a small thing, but I think it's something Frank's got to consider, mm-hmm. is if you go to penalties, mm-hmm. you've got to have Joseph Pitty and Barco on the list, which means they've got to be on the field. You'd like to have Vasquez only because he has struck a penalty for you this year, mm-hmm. but that might not be possible.
I'm not worried about that.
But I don't want to go into a shootout without Pitty, Joseph, and Barco, all three.
You might not get all three if they start.
Do you get a fourth sub in
at
a time?
You do.
So you could maneuver it that way, too.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold him out for that. You got to win the game in 90.
Yeah.
You can't think about it that way.
I don't want to go to penalties.
No.
I want to live to see the Penn State game Saturday night. So I don't want to go to penalties.
You don't want that.
But that is something that both managers are going to have to think about. It is a 90-minute knockout game. I do want to point out, we did look it up. The one match that Miles Robinson did not start this year was in Vancouver. He did mm-hmm. come on for 8 minutes. But I would draw no conclusions from that lineup. It was a 4-2-3-1. But remember, Parkhurst wasn't there. Nagby wasn't there. That was a very good game for Pogba. It was an excellent game for Breck Shea.
Yep.
Obviously, Shea is not available for you anymore. And you had Tito starting up top with Miram and Joseph, if I remember that correctly.
That's right.
So it was a very unusual night. Atlanta United got an unjust 1-0. It really should have been 2. Maxime
Crepeau was ridiculous.
Crazy sequence of saves. We are going to, at the very end, touch on the other matchups this week. I want to get your thoughts on especially Philadelphia and Red Bulls. And now Shabilka looks very, very iffy for that one. And Chris Quick Trigger Penzo will be the referee for that match, which could bode very well for Atlanta United if he throws a bunch of red cards in that match, because he does have a tendency to do that.
Oh,
you saw that, right?
No.
Yeah, Quick Trigger Penzo got that match. That, oh, I'm telling you. Like,
how is he getting playoff games?
Well, no, I'm telling you, like, Atlanta United, things really do... There are a lot of things kind of falling into place for them here.
Some ways.
With New York City maybe getting kicked out of Yankee Stadium. You've got Quick Trigger Penzo reffing the match opposite yours. You're going to have an extra day of rest on all your opponents if you can get through this one. It's just the Miles thing, obviously, but everything else has kind of worked out nicely. So let's take a few more questions, then we'll get into the other matches to end the show. And again, your questions are brought to you by Country Financial. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started at TakeSimpleSteps.com.
See, Shiva on Facebook says, we did not have Miles versus Club America, and whatever we did with the lineup helped, correct?
I honestly got to go back and look.
I'll look that up. Yeah.
You gave up two goals, so I don't know how much it helped. I don't want to be in a 3-2 knockout round game here where the season's on the line. That's not great. Pereira started on the left side. It was three in the back.
Pogba was really good that night.
He
got you a penalty.
It was Pogba, LGP, and was it Escobar as your three center backs? So maybe LGP was in the middle in that one?
I'll be damned. You're right, Shiva. Wow, I don't remember that at all.
I remembered Miles having the night off.
It was 3-5-2, Escobar, Leandro, most central, three, and Pogba.
So that's your time that you did it.
And then you're right, Gressel on the right, Pereira is the left.
Who was in the midfield?
It was Larenowitz, Nagby, and Hyman.
And Club America got a red card, too, in that game.
Yeah.
Well, and what? There were two penalties and a double yellow in that. Like, yeah. But you're not going to get that referee. By the way, very good referee on this match, Kevin Stott. Excellent referee.
Yes,
that,
Stott.
Yeah, a World Cup referee. Yeah. Atlanta United has never lost a match in which he has had the center. He's an excellent referee, so that won't be a problem.
The reason I don't like that is LGP has been more inconsistent since that night.
Absolutely.
I don't want my inconsistent defender in the middle.
No. Now, Stott has never thrown a red in an Atlanta United match. He has called a penalty in an Atlanta United match. I think it was the playoff against Red Bulls. I think is where he called the penalty. I looked that up yesterday, and now of course I forget when I need it. But referees will tend to be a little more tight with cards in playoffs. At least they should be. But I do worry. I'm gravely concerned about Leandro in a 1v1 situation against like Bunbury.
Yeah, I'm not as worried about like the card issue of it. I'm just worried about
if he can stand up to mistakes.
Yeah, and Bo and Bunbury will put you under pressure.
Yeah.
If he's in the middle, he's not in those 1v1 situations as much. But I don't want him diving in on challenges, which is something that he likes to do,
especially inside the 18.
Yeah,
which is where that will happen.
Let him be on the outside. He's the first line of defense of the back line. Maybe a little calmer head behind him cleaning things up.
See, Joey Logan on Facebook said, lots of debate from the supporter pundits on starting Hyman or Pitti on Saturday.
Yeah.
He asked you for we kind of talked about, what's your preferred lineup for us?
The last one we said, you defend with seven and you have three up top, and Pitti's one of them. I think it's foolish, and that's why I said, I don't think it was a benching. I don't think it was anything like that. I think it was Barco needed 60 minutes. You wanted to give him those 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit safer to play it that way. Well, now, if you got to be safer because you don't have Miles, do you want to be still safer in the attack? No. I think you need one more player who can break something down on their own. Emerson Hyman is a very good player, and I think he'll be here for a while. I think he'll be a very good player for Atlanta United. He's not the one who's going to make a moment of magic happen in a postseason match. I'm going to trust the guy who stepped up in massive ways in the Copa Libertadores last year for River Plate. Pitti Martinez is one of the most talented players in this league, and he should be playing.
He's a big match player. I mean, every
And it's not to say Heinemann's not.
No. I'm just saying this year, Pitti, you've seen...
Open Cup final.
Last 2 months.
But even in CONCACAF, like those matches, he stepped up the game.
The Ariano home leg, he was unbelievably good. Yeah, you're right. I'm with you.
I think you need to, if you're going to get more defensive, if you're going to play the Montreal style, you want to finish with Joseph, Barco, and Pithy as your front three.
Exactly. If you're playing legs, I think we're having a totally different discussion.
We could be.
I think you got to be really, really on the safe side in a situation like
this. At home, you want to be on the safe side, but at home, you don't want to be too safe.
No, well, true. True, but
you've
got to
have somebody who can win.
You don't want to be reckless.
You've got to have somebody who can make something happen, because New England, I don't think they do it. I especially don't think they do it because of the Miles injury, but they could sit back more. They could be a little more defensive. Your two holding midfielders, they could do the same thing like we talked about. They could say, well, we're going to sit with our two center backs, our left back who's going to stay home, our two holding midfielders, we're going to let Brandon Bye go, and we're going to sit with five. And it's going to be very disconnected because New England's not trying to build up play. Mm-hmm. They're going to play it forward, look for second ball, Carlos Hill to pop on something. So they can play with five and five. They can do that. And you've got to be ready to defend that. That's why you need the free man. That's why you need two free men if you can help it. If I'm going to defend 7-on-5, cool. If I'm going to attack 3-on-5, I want Pithy as one of my three to break it down.
All right, let's do one more, and then let's talk about the other playoff matches.
Yes.
From Craig Green, he says, give me a good reason why I shouldn't think this will be a 6-0 Atlanta United victory, because that's how I'm feeling, even with Robinson hurt.
Oh, I hope so.
The reason why you shouldn't be feeling that way is New England has a great attack. I think Gustavo Bo, Carlos Heel, great duo. Teal Bunbury, underrated. Pena's speed scares me. Brandon Bye is unpredictable because of it's a right back bombing forward. There's a lot of difficulties with their attack.
There's one way I could see it happening, and it's if you get a moment of magic extremely early, as you did in the regular season match. Maybe get a goal in the third minute, and then New England compounds the mistake, and they give you a penalty, and suddenly after 2 minutes, it's 2-0,
sure. No,
and then New England is just totally out of shape.
Yeah.
Well, not even a red, but just New England is chasing the mat. If you put them in a position where they have to get reckless, I think you can really burn them. I don't see six because Matt Turner is such a good goalkeeper. I mean, if it came down to that, Turner's not letting six by him.
If you get an early goal, you're in great shape here.
Yeah, especially
an early goal is so big in this one.
Thank you for your questions, and don't forget, we're going to do a full broadcast on Saturday. Including a one-hour full-time report, so I'm sure there will be plenty of questions after the match. And send them to us. Don't forget, you know, we really take all questions and comments on that full-time report, so don't hesitate to send them in. We will read them. We love getting them. Okay, just let's go quickly through the other matchups. New York Red Bulls at Philadelphia, that'll be on Sunday. Really looks like, based on the reports from Jim Curtin today, that Shabilko's not going to play for Philly. That's a big loss.
Doesn't look good for Shabilko. They have some other options, not as good as Shabilko. Bedoya is good to go. That helps.
I guess Sergio Santos is not good to go.
No, he trained today.
Oh, he did train.
He did train
today. That's big for them.
So that's going to help. I would assume he'll get the start up top. I wonder if you might move pieces around and maybe play Fafa Pico up top and bring in El Seno from the start since you're at home. It's possible. I'm not against it. New York Red Bulls have been completely unconvincing lately. I don't understand why some are always now on the Red Bulls train at this point in the season. I don't get it.
Well, they have all that history of playoff success, so,
yeah.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they don't. And Tyler Adams isn't coming back either. He's gone. So I think Philly wins. I think they win. Maybe it takes them a little bit because you're not having Shabilko. Maybe they have to get creative. I kind of like the idea of Pico as a false nine to a degree, speed, and then have El Seno breaking people down 1v1. But I think Philly wins.
Saturday night in Toronto, you have TFC at BMO Field against Zombie DC.
Yeah, DC's so weird. They're hard to to figure out at this point because Bill Hamid can win you a game or at least get you to a shootout because he's that good of a goalkeeper. He can have that kind of day. Wayne Rooney is still Wayne Rooney. He is still capable of magic. I haven't seen a whole lot of it, but he's capable of it. Luciano Acosta, I mean, I don't know where his head's at, but we know what he can do on the field. DC's a completely unpredictable group. Toronto's been somewhat unpredictable, too, and you don't know about Jozy Altidore.
Keep in mind, too, if the New York City not playing this weekend, they're supposedly playing a closed-door friendly today against Chicago Fire.
Yep.
Sure, that's a super motivated club right now.
Hope no injuries.
Yeah. Do you think they're making Bastian Schweinsteiger play that?
No. Bastian Schweinsteiger's like, I'm not under contract with you anymore. Bye.
He's probably on a Gulfstream over to Germany right now. Yeah. Not playing for them anymore. But keep something in mind. If the Yankees win one of their next two games, then New York City's going to have to go to Citi Field for that matchup against D.C. or Toronto. Okay, in the West, Seattle hosting Dallas, 3:30 on Saturday.
Seattle should win. Dallas is unpredictable. They've had really big days, and then they've had really awful days. I don't think they're ready to go to Seattle and get a playoff win.
Portland's got to go to the Riot to play RSL.
That's the one that I could see an upset. Just because Portland has a bunch of veterans, by all accounts, it's Diego Valeri's last ride with the Timbers. That's going to motivate you as a group. Giovanni Savarese has no problem going in and saying, I want this to be the ugliest soccer match you've ever seen possible, and I want us to play in transition and get one goal and make it stand up. He's not going to care about style points, and they could absolutely go in there and win.
I think the best match of the whole weekend is the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Loons hosting LA Galaxy.
Take the over, for sure, because the Galaxy could not defend a U15 team right now, and Zlatan could score 5 on his own. I mean, that's the thing is... Who knows?
Winner will play LAFC, who now looks like they'll be without Marc-Anthony K. We don't know for sure.
We don't have an update yet, but it didn't look good.
It didn't look good. And maybe without Walker Zimmerman, too.
That didn't look good either.
That would be... We talked about how if LAFC had some ill-timed injuries, they were going to be in trouble because they are not deep. You're talking about two players on their back line who could be out now, including a Defender of the Year finalist, right?
Yep.
That is a huge, huge concern for LAFC going into a match next week against a team, whether it be Loons or Galaxy, that they have not beaten this year.
Two teams that can hurt you in your back line. And Walker Zimmerman being gone, you don't have a center back replacement. And Marc-Anthony Kay being gone, we saw how that affected them last year in the midfield. Now, Edward Atuesta has put in a best 11 kind of season. You've got a little more security there. Blessing has really stepped up as a box-to-box midfielder. You're going to be replacing Kay with either, you know, Lee Wynn, who's been really good. You could replace him with some permutation of Vela dropping into the midfield or Brian Rodriguez moving into the midfield with somebody sitting with Atuesta. So more of, instead of a 4-1-4-1, it's more of a 4-2-3-1. Yeah, it's possible. But that's a lot of stuff to move around going into a game against a team you haven't beaten, and against a team in either Minnesota that has Mason Toy, who is feeling himself right now, Darwin Quintero, who can ruin your day in a heartbeat, or against Zlatan, who pretty much owns you. I mean, that's where you're at if you're LAFC. Bob Bradley can't be happy right now.
No. Okay. Our coverage plans on Saturday are thus. We'll be on at 12:30 for the Five Stripes Countdown. They're going to do a show, by the way, from the Gulch from 11 to 12:30 on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I think Joe Patrick and John Chuckery are doing that show. You're going to be really well-informed while you're tailgating on Saturday. We're going to do a whole build-up to 12:30 when Jason and I come on the air. I know there have been some people saying that the kickoff is right at 1 o'clock. It's not. It's at 1:08. Yeah. Okay. It's not 1:25.
Right,
it's not
right.
Like one of those
yeah.
really ridiculous late kickoffs, but it's not at 1 o'clock either. It's at 1:08. So we'll be on with the game broadcast at 1 o'clock. We're also going to be on SiriusXM channel 157, radio.com, which I guess now you can rewind.
You can.
So if you've missed the broadcast within 24 hours of it, if for some reason you want to go back and hear how Jason and I called it, you can do that now. You can hit rewind on radio.com, which is a pretty
cool
feature.
Easier to sync up, too.
Yeah, much easier, right, because it's literally rewind. So if you recorded the game on TV, and remember that Kevin, Dan, and Jill will do the call as well. There's going to be a local broadcast on TV, which is awesome.
It's on 2DNA as well on TV if you don't have cable. And so I think you can get Univision over the air,
you
too.
You can. You absolutely
can. So you can get that.
Yeah.
It's on Twitter as well with their English commentary.
And on the Atlanta United app, too.
You got so many different options to watch or listen to this.
But we, of course, love it when you listen to us, and we'll be on at 12:30 on Saturday. Full one-hour, full-time report afterwards. And if Atlanta United is to advance, they will play the following Thursday at 7:30. Mm-hmm. We'll be on at 7. If it gets there, we certainly
talk about that next week.
Yeah, look, no guarantees with this one, especially with Miles Robinson being out. It was going to be a difficult match to begin with. Now it's going to be even more difficult. But look, you're at home. And you earned the right to be at home because he had a good regular season. You've been shorthanded at home at times this year. The Shiva's note about Miles not playing against Club America, oddly now, has me feeling way more upbeat than I was when I started the show. Because I completely forgot that.
There you go, Shiva.
I completely forgot that. I remember Alec Cann got that game.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking.
I don't know why I thought Miles played in that game. Because it felt like it was a full first choice lineup other than Alec mm-hmm. that night.
Yeah.
So that's. Thanks, Shiva. Appreciate it. Okay, we'll see you Saturday at 12:30. Stoppage Time has been brought to you by Aaron's. Easy, beautiful, affordable. Top brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances. Your credit isn't the best. That's fine. Shop Aaron's.com or one of 47 Atlanta stores. For Jason, Jimmy, Mena, I'm Mike Conti. We'll see you next week here on the 92.9 The Game Facebook page.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.